I love you.
Welcome back to the Couch Potatoes. So happy to have you here. Excuse me. Come on in. Sit down. Yeah, that's how happy I am. I got so happy that all the gas came up out of my stomach. Come on in. Sit down. Yada, yada, yada. Big couch. You know how it is. I'm the Green Traveler from Gorsh.
And I am the Faceless Leone, an experiment. And I feel like I have never done a podcast before, ever in my life.
I don't know why
I feel that way.
We're out of it.
Yes. It might be the weather. Like, it's been super weird here.
Indiana's fucked.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, 70 on Tuesday, and then...
Yeah.
And then...
Now it's 38.
And now it's 38, and yesterday it was pretty cold as well. Not as cold as today, but it was pretty cold.
Yeah. Fucking tired of it.
Yeah.
It's just like Indiana hears there's going to be an eclipse happening, and it's just like, let's ruin these fucking moods. Can't let them get happy.
Yeah, we're in a state of emergency.
It's even going to be cloudy on eclipse day.
It is.
Not even us.
That's the forecast.
Well, I mean, right now, that's what they're calling for. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it'll probably, hopefully it'll change. Hopefully. And hopefully it changes for the better, and it doesn't just become a goddamn snowstorm.
Right. I hope that also, I don't care if there's occasional clouds. it did. There was a flurry yesterday.
Goddamn April. I know it snowed late into the year before. I know this isn't a first thing.
No.
But still, it's an annoying thing that I don't want to ever see again.
It's been like that every week. Like, it hasn't swung this low in a little bit. Oh my god. We're talking about the fucking
swing
weather.
Low. Sweet chariot.
The temperature is gonna carry you home. Okay.
Oh, no. We're here
on the couch. We have watched some movies, and this is a potato pick. This is from Brad, I believe, correct?
It is.
Okay. Hitting us with another war movie classic, MASH.
He's killing it, man. Two in a row.
Yeah. And you know, I dig it.
Wait, no. 50 Shades was the last one.
But he didn't do that.
No, he did the one before that one, though. So this year, though, he's killed it twice this year.
Yeah, pretty good.
Go Brad.
Pretty good films.
Where you go, Dad?
But pairing with this film is Backdraft, a movie that for some reason I assumed was a military film, but then when I went to rent it, I was like, oh, it's about firefighters. Cool.
It's about firefighters. I like this. No, huge obsession. I like firefighters. No lie. Typically very attractive men. Me and the Faceless Leone had a very long conversation about the beauty of firefighters.
Firefighters.
God bless.
God bless them firefighters. God bless.
And that's not sarcasm. God bless.
Yes. Oh, no, for real. It's a scary job. And, if they didn't do it, there'd be a lot of problems. Because honestly, the tradition of being a firefighter really isn't all that old. It started in the 1800s, like the mid-1800s.
Before that, it took a village to put out a fire.
Well, if the fire started, that people were just like, well, fuck. That's it.
It's done. There goes my livelihood.
Yep. Did the kids get out? Great. That's good.
Quick, honey, piss on it. See if it goes out. See if I can get rid of her, too.
My grandpa was a firefighter, and they think that because there's a big chemical plant fire that he went to, they think like that this kind of always been a family thought anyways, that might have been the cause of his MS. But
that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's the same thing that we're seeing with the 9/11 volunteers.
They're all
like they all sick. All the dust and the debris and everything that they inhaled while all the amazing actions they did. Now all that's coming back.
Yeah.
And Jon Stewart's fighting for them to get the fucking money that they need to keep, you know, to help them out.
Good job, Jon.
And he also succeeded. Yeah. Good job, Jon Stewart.
Why don't you run for
Jon
president?
Jon Stewart for president. Yeah. But Stephen Colbert is your vice. It doesn't need to be Stephen, but I always thought that would be a fun,
a good
1-2 combo.
But
people wouldn't vote for Stephen Colbert. Jon Stewart, though.
Jon Stewart, I mean, I think they get a lot of people our age. Anyhow, beyond politics and our endorsement of Jon Stewart, who is not running.
Not yet.
Let's talk about MASH.
There's still time. Let's talk about MASH. It's a 1970s film about the 1950s protesting actions of the 1960s. there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
The movie, though, it's based off of books by Richard Hooker. That's not his real name, I'm pretty sure. I think that's a pseudonym. Yeah, his real name was Heister Richard Hornberger Jr. So great job of choosing Richard Hooker. That's much better.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone under Heister Hornberger. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Heister Hornberger or Dick Hooker? We're going to go with Dick Hooker. He succeeded there. Great choice.
Oh, shit.
We used to own them all. I think it was like one of my grandpa's like book collections. And it got passed down to my brother. But our copies are pretty old.
Oh, I'm sure.
I remember I tried reading the first book, and it was literally just like you had to read like one page at a time because the whole spine had fallen off. So it was held together by rubber bands, and it was awful. I couldn't do it.
Because I just realized that we did not say the reason why we're watching these two movies. This is an actor spotlight.
We said. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We said it was a potato pick. We didn't say it was an actor spotlight.
It's an actor spotlight, and we're here to talk about Donald Sutherland, who is the protagonist of MASH.
Yes.
Continue.
Yeah. And he's a supporting actor in a Backdraft.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, you know, we've joked about it before because it seems to be the case with most of our patron suggestions when it comes to a spotlight. That they always suggest something that the individual is the main character and then the individual is a supporting character.
Yeah.
And we've joked about it, but I'm starting to think that's actually a really good strategy, guys.
Yeah, with this one, I'm totally with it. But, like, there was one time, I think it was the Nicole Williams, maybe. I'm not sure. Somebody.
Nicole Williams.
Oh, fuck.
Jennifer... Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams, thank you. Nicole's not far off from that. From just pulling
it's
out
not,
of my
it's
ass.
Not. I was just trying to remember who it was because I was like, did we do a spotlight on somebody named Nicole? And so I was trying to think of all the Nicoles I know, which is not many.
No,
let me be honest.
No, Nicole Richie is in a show called Yellow Jackets that I'm watching right now.
I didn't even know. I don't know who that is.
The Casper girl. Right?
Oh.
Or is it her sister? I don't know. Anyhow.
I know Richie. That sounds familiar.
Anyhow. What was I talking about before that? It wasn't MASH. But
this actress. It was just the fact that
Michelle. That they were like barely in that film. It was like one scene.
Yeah.
And it was a good scene.
Yeah.
And so... this one, Donald Sutherland is not very much in Backdraft, but the performance is very interesting. Very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So we will get to that.
And it's still interesting in MASH. MASH is basically just the movie and the show are very different.
Yeah.
They're very same and very different. Yeah. And I'd like to talk about both of those briefly because I love the show.
Mm-hmm.
My family, my dad grew up, like, you know, that was one of the things we would just sit down and watch with my dad all the time. We would always watch MASH reruns.
I always thought it was funny and then, you know, occasionally very serious as war can be. So I thought it was kind of realistic that way as a comedy.
Well, it got very deep. And I know a lot of people started to hate the show when Alan Alda took more of a creative role on it and started making like very progressive episodes. And, you know, a lot of it was left wing and, you know, people didn't like that. I loved it. I feel like it's that kind of show that really handles drama and comedy super well.
Definitely. I always thought that,
and it tells these poignant messages that you're just like, you're left being like, fuck. Like, some of the best episodes of television are from the show. The movie, on the other hand, I watched it once as a kid. Or maybe we watched it multiple times. I only remember watching it once or twice. And it's funny.
It's funny.
But coming back to it as an adult, I was just like, holy fuck.
It's definitely it's far more dated, we'll say.
Yeah. Yes.
I honestly thought it was hilarious. And, you know, I just got to recognize that it was of the times and considered quite funny at the time. Is a lot of situations that they put this
misogynistic.
Yes, there's a lot of situations that they put the female characters in that feel coerced and downright not asked for.
Oh no! Yeah. And there's even moments where you can see on the supporting, like the I don't remember what you would call them, but like the bit actors who are just kind of like there. You could see it on some of the female faces there when, like, say, for example, when one of the main characters is Margaret Hot Lips Houlihan, played here by Sally Kellerman. There's a moment where they pull the shower tent down.
Yeah.
The male doctors do. Well, yeah, up, yeah. And they expose her to everybody as she's showering and she's nude. And, like, that's just awful. Up.
Yeah.
That's really fucked up. And when they cut to the reaction shot of all the doctors and nurses watching, the main ones in the middle are all laughing. But if you're like me and you're focusing everywhere on the damn film because you just can't help but do it, all the ones on the outside looked shocked and very upset that it's like they got the joke and were like, oh, ew, you know, this is disgusting. And like, it really kind of ruined the joking for me when you see like all the real reactions that somehow still made it into the final cut.
Oh, wow. Well, I definitely missed it. Yeah, that's just like, you guys are adults. And this is a grown woman that you're invading their privacy. This is like teenager bullshit.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely, you know, it's not like cool when they do it either. Obviously, but
it's like the frat bros, you know, just having fun with the sorority girls. No, which, and I mean, you know, that's kind of doctors,
so they probably were fraternity brothers,
right? And that's the thing, is it all takes place in Korea. Again, I made the joke that it's a '70s movie based in the '50s, mocking the '60s. It's set in Korea in the early 50s when the war was going on, of course, where we had mobile army surgical hospitals very, very close to the front lines, and they were a quick patch them up before you send them back, even, you know, send the soldiers back to a better hospital farther away from the front lines. This was, you know, these MASH units were used to do quick surgeries, to do the best they could in ridiculous circumstances. Mm-hmm. And it was very grindy. You know, there was a lot of work every single day. The war was always going on. So it's like, that was a hard job to do. And to alleviate that drama, this comedy movie, MASH, you know, these doctors had ridiculous, very un-army efficient or, you know, commended attitudes about everything. They drank gin.
Unorthodox.
Unorthodox, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. They have their own gin distillery set up in their tent. You know, they're always trouncing around with the nurses. There's a lot, like, everybody's cheating. Everybody who's married is cheating on their wives in the show and the movie as well.
Yeah. I love my husband.
It's ridiculous. But it's just like that's how they alleviated the tension. by sex, drugs, and rock and roll in Korea. Except for the certain individuals, like, you know, you had Major Frank Burns, who is Robert Duvall here. I very much like...
Interesting.
I like every single character in the show better than the movie. Even Donald Sutherland's Hawkeye. I like Alan Alda's Hawkeye because that's just one of the best characters classic. Ever.
But I did rather like this performance.
Yes, I do like Donald Sutherland here. Yeah.
When I first saw him, though, my reaction was, did they get Michael Spader?
He does kind of look like a young Michael Spader.
I gotta make sure that I'm talking that his name is Michael.
I think you're right. Or James Spader.
Oh, is it James?
Maybe it's not that guy.
You knew exactly who I was talking about, though.
He kind of looks like
his
young
name
James
is Michael Spader. Michael Spader's the right guy. The guy who played it is James Spader. What the fuck? Anyhow.
Okay.
When James Spader
younger...
was young, this character particularly, because when he had the beard in you gotta remind me, Kelly's Heroes.
Oh yeah.
He looked like Donald Sutherland.
Right.
It took him talking for me to be like, oh shit, that's Donald.
He's got a very distinct voice.
And that threw me so much because he's, you know, younger than I'm used to seeing him, and he didn't have facial hair, which he honestly usually sports, I feel like.
Right.
When we got to Backdraft, and I was watching Backdraft, I was like, which one of these guys is Donald Sutherland?
Yeah, completely different flip of the coin once he shows up. You know, it's just, I mean, it's very, again, it's very obvious when it's Donald Sutherland and Backdraft.
Yes, definitely.
But yeah, it's definitely a wildly different look. Like, Hawkeye is the kind of, obviously he's in army greens. You know, he's wearing straight up, you know, just whole outfit. But, like, he also has, like, a fish
hat.
Yeah, exactly. He's got like that Fisher hat kind of thing with everything going on. He's got tinted glasses, I think. You know, kind of. He definitely still reeks of hippie, but like before hippie.
Mm-hmm.
What they call them?
Beatniks.
Beatniks. Thank you. Yeah, he definitely had that kind of feel to him, even though he's still in the army.
More
surgical.
So in Kelly's Heroes.
Definitely. this is more of a stoner version of his character in Kelly's Heroes.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
he's just more of a modern person.
But like his very first action, you know, the very first action of the movie is him stealing a Jeep. Like he gets to where he's supposed to go, you know, he's told to report to MASH 4077, and so he goes to the area, and the guy's like, well, you're gonna wait for your driver, the driver will be out, he's finishing smoking a cigarette. And then, who is it, Duke Forrest, played by Tom Skerritt, he shows up, and he's just like, you my driver? And Hawkeye's like, well, I'm not gonna deny it, you know, he's like, fuck it, he tosses the guy's luggage into the back, and he gets in, he's like, here we go! He just steals the Jeep.
But like Duke's pushing him around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, he's like, Duke, here, take my bags. I need to be at the MASH like pronto. Yada yada.
Yeah. He's like, I'm the boss. Do what I tell you.
Yes, sir.
You got it. I'm on it. And they, as I mentioned, they get put into the same tent as Major Frank Burns, Robert Duvall. They're later joined by Trapper John McIntyre, played by Elliot Gould. So named Trapper John because he used to trap women in locker rooms and areas. Not a great characteristic.
I missed that.
Yeah, it's I'm really happy you did, because it is it's just one of those other gross things that like they glorify a lot of the horrible treatments
naughty.
Of women. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they kind of try to make it
less naughty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the show is still has a lot of those issues, yeah. But it's still trying to be progressive about them. Because it's like, there's a lot of episodes where it's like, you know, somebody's cheating on their wife, but it's more about the emotional, it's like, you know, they feel awful that they're cheating on their wife. And, right. You know, after talking to Hawkeye or talking to somebody else, they realize that it's like, yeah, what I did was wrong. But at the same time, it's human. You know, yeah. You're very far away from somebody. You want that sensation. And, physical, you know, it's flesh. And you slip. Yeah, you slip. And, you know, to err is to be a human. That's just what it is. Yeah. And that's how the show's focus on it is. The movie's focus is, fuck yeah, men. Yeah, it's just locker room talk. It's all about that locker room talk.
Yeah.
And
I will say, so, a lot of the hijinks had me going. I thought
they were fun. Yeah.
You know, yeah, I like, it's just of the same era, but it, you know, it's not Porky's. It's not no. Like that.
No.
But there is hijinks akin to that.
Yeah.
I will say.
Yeah. It's a little more tasteful. And there's still, even though it's like, it's a long and rambling movie, there's still a good message about the stupidity of war, basically. You yeah. know, it's like, there's yeah. a lot of awfulness that happens in war, and the only way to live through it is to find the comedy. And, you know, that's what a lot of this whole movie is about. And, you know, it to get the movie aside and the focus only on Donald Sutherland, it is still a fun movie, but I yeah. highly recommend people just watch the show. It's far more, it's less racist. It's far more, it's less racist. It's less misogynist. It still does have a character who, has a racial slur as a nickname. Both movie and show have that. That character is not considered that in the show for very long. They call him that. I'm not gonna say the name. Yeah, racist.
Not worth saying.
Yeah,
gotcha.
But you know, in the movie, that's his name, and it's just like, why are you called that? And he's just like, well, I used to throw a javelin, and it's like, it's so stupid. It's like a throwaway line.
That
yeah, that
okay.
Yeah,
I that did character. Not know that was a slur. I yeah. was not aware.
When you sure. hear it in the movie, it's just like, oh my God. And in the show, you know, maybe the first season, I think he's a character. After that, I think that actor moved on to another show or something, because they kind of just like stopped mentioning him and he wasn't around anymore. But it's like, it's still, the show's less racist, the show's less misogynistic, it's a lot more fun and poignant. So I recommend people watch it, even though it is 11 seasons long. The movie is just all over the place. You know, it's just crazy. Like, it's fun.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, it's like, it's yeah, you
yeah,
sent me
I
a
think
text.
I said.
Yeah. I don't remember what it was. I remember
I,
just the
I
ending.
I think I said it went from goofs to guts to something to guts and then football.
Yeah, it was boobs. Boobs was in the middle.
Boobs.
It was goofs gotcha. To guts to boobs to something else
guts.
To something.
I'm pretty sure
to guts,
it was guts
to football.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. And it's so true, because the football ending, like, what in the fuck? It's randomly just
yeah,
tacked
it
on
was
there.
So weird.
And it felt like such a bigger moment when I watched it as a kid. Like, coming back
sure,
to it, I was
I'm
watching
sure.
this movie.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well,
it
where's
totally
the fucking...
changes the whole thing.
Yeah. It's so stupid. Yeah. And it's just like a 15-minute scene. Like, it just goes
yeah.
on. And then and Houlihan completely became like a different character. She went from being
yeah.
like... It's like she got
They're
Stockholm Syndrome and was finally just
now.
A part of the... Yeah. yeah, part of the boys. It's so stupid. And she got a fucking Oscar nom for it. Like,
oh my God,
her one scene salty. Where she bursts into Henry Henry Blake is
right.
the commander of
Not
the
me.
MASH, the lieutenant colonel. He's played by Roger Bowen. He's like a bit of a dunce. He's always 10 steps behind his senior aide, Radar O'Reilly, played by Gary Berghoff.
Yeah.
Gary Berghoff, the only individual to be in both show and movie. Is
okay, I thought
the one recurring character
made it over.
Yeah, just him to my knowledge. But Henry Blake, though, when she bursts into Henry Blake's tent and just screams at him. That scene is phenomenal because she's just been vandalized. Like, you know, basically that's what they did to her. Because I think it's right after the shower scene. And, yes, it is. You know, she's still got
shampoo in her hair.
Yeah, that's right. And she just unloads everything. And obviously he doesn't give a damn. And so nothing comes of it. And because nothing comes of it, she just becomes a non-character. She becomes a ditzy cheerleader. Like you said, it's.
Yeah. She like, yeah, kind of Charlie Brown slumps out of the office.
Yeah. It's so sad.
Yeah. And the fact that that is probably the only scene of any, like, real note. I will say that her comedy was on point.
Oh, yeah,
For, you know, for being the straight buzzkill type character, it was, she's good at it. But the fact that the majority of her character is to be exposed and made fun of by these men, like, and she's also in a place of authority. So it's like, yeah, these women in authority, it's okay to just, you know, fuck around and.
They're not bosses, not really.
Really. It's just a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's really frustrating. I can't. And like, I've mentioned on the podcast before that I'm an atheist, but like the way Duke, Hawkeye, and Trapper John treat Frank's Christianity, that is fucking rude. Like,
yeah.
You can go ahead and not accept other people's beliefs. Right. I do it all the time. But respect their fucking beliefs at the same time. Right. They're allowed to have these thoughts and these beliefs and everything. It's your freedom of religion, you know, at least in America. But it's just like the way they treated him as I was watching it, I was like cringing because it was reminding me of how I was in high school, you know, and I was just like, oh my God. God, I was like, oh, this is it's so rude. It's hard to side with these people.
It was rude, but Robert Duvall and the other Frank Burns, they are very good at being assholes and using their religion as a crutch to be an asshole and to be a bad doctor.
Yeah. Which, fun fact
about
that.
But it is, like, right away. It's, like, right away that they start making fun of his religion.
Yeah.
Like, if it was after they found out that he was a major hypocrite, I'd be totally fine with that. But it's not.
I'm trying to find this fact, because I want to make sure it's right before I... Oh! Frank Burns, that's who it was. That character is from Indiana. And from Fort Wayne, Indiana, to be precise.
That's where I'm from.
I thought it was the show actor Larry Linville, but it is not. He was not. It's the character.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I will to get back to Donald, because this is why we're here. I do want to say that one commending thing about his performance is his chemistry with Elliot Gould. They are a lot of fun together.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even more than with Tom Skerritt, all three of them together is fun. But
I struggle to like Sutherland Tom Skerritt. All right. Well, I guess his character Duke Forrest. I struggle to like his character. Yeah. He's just such a prick.
Duke.
He is, and he's racist too. And they never resolve that. Like the only resolution of his racism is that Hawkeye and Trapper John just push him down. They're like, "What's wrong with you, you racist?" And they just shove him out of the way. And it's like, it's a funny moment, but I'm like, he probably like you could develop his character a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
He could stop being racist.
Especially since he's one of the three main characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I agree. Donald's chemistry with Elliot Gould was phenomenal. Him and his Hawkeye and that Trapper John are just like, you can see them being a menace to women. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
In a good way. In a good way. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, well, not the
in a consensual, usually in a consensual way after some hilarious comedic persuasion.
Yeah.
None of this is sounding good.
No, it's not. So let's just do closing statements. I will say that I thought Donald Sutherland was pretty damn good as this character. And this is me having only seen Alan Alda do it. And, you know, so I'm like, all right, he's got to be good in it. And, you know, it's not like he did anything above and beyond, but I do still feel that character there.
Yeah.
Because Alan Alda's portrayal is mischievous. And, I think it really worked in that he did a good job in the role. And for, you know, for being probably one of his first lead roles, I thought it was pretty good.
Maybe.
He's a lot of fun. And, the chemistry with Gold is just on point. And I give the film, however, a full face. I had a lot of fun watching it, but I don't know how much I would recommend it. I would recommend the show over it, I think.
Oh, yeah. Much agreed. Yeah, I think Donald Sutherland's performance here is pretty brilliant. Like, it's, as I mentioned, he really captures this character, this, like, that 70s, 60s essence, but making it work in a 50s timeline. I think it works so much better here than it did in Kelly's Heroes.
yeah. Where he's like a total fucking hippie guy in fucking World War II.
Yeah, it felt like it was like trying to make a message, but it just didn't, I don't know, it didn't feel well handled. I
can't deal with these negative vibes. Negative waves.
Get these negative waves out of here, man. Like, man. No, I really like Hawkeye Pierce here. Alan Alda, masterpiece of a character. His Hawkeye will forever live as one of the greatest characters in entertainment, in my opinion. But Donald Sutherland's Hawkeye is really good. You get a lot of good emotion, a lot of good, great comedy. Like, his character is by far the funniest character, in my opinion, in the show, or in the movie. But yeah, as a movie, I would give it 3.5 stars. It's still fun. It can still be enjoyable, but it is definitely very misogynistic. And that can be quite annoying and cringy to watch at times.
Yeah, for sure. I think that finishes out the first part of our show.
Yeah.
We'll be back after a soda pop break to talk about
Back Drums. Once my dog calms down.
Yes.
I love you.
Blah, 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 blah. I don't remember what that MASH song is.
The Suicide Song?
No, I forgot about the
Suicide Song.
Yeah, suicide is painless. They cut that down a lot for the show version. In fact, it might have just been instruments in the show version. I can't remember.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants suicide to be on TV, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Yeah. It's a good song for the World War II.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting song, but it's just like the, I don't know, like.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about the, Pelosi's thing, too.
Pelosi?
Nancy? The dentist guy.
Oh, yeah, that was a weird, just to wrap that up in a bow tie. There's a guy who can't get it up one day and thinks he might be gay because of it. So he approaches Hawkeye, and Hawkeye and the rest of the men find it hilarious because it kind of is. Just because you can't get it up doesn't mean you're gay, and if you are gay, that's not a big deal. Which is kind of how Hawkeye's...
honestly, how I feel like he... looked at it.
I think that was Hawkeye's thought process, was like, who the fuck cares, man? Like, everybody can't get it up once in a while. It doesn't mean you're gay. But the guy ends up basically being like, well, if I'm gay, I'm going to commit suicide. And everybody's just like, okay. So they throw him a mock funeral. It's so weird and awful.
It's so fucking weird. And they get the priest to play along, and he's like, I don't know about this. I don't know if I can, like, you know, be okay with, like, you know, condoning this. And he's like, no, dude, he's not going to kill himself. Don't worry. Yeah. But it's we're just going to get laid by the end of this. Yeah, it was pretty fucked, though.
It was weird as fuck. But no, I was talking about the, there's a song that plays over, like, the speaker. It's like, do put in me all these words. You know, and it's got, like, the, like a horn playing in the background the whole time. Yeah. It's so stupid. I don't know. It's always stuck in my head, and I can never find a YouTube version of it, but it's always in MASH. It's always playing on the damn speakers. Huh. Anyways, we're talking Backdraft.
They do, you know, okay, we are talking Backdraft, but I do like the Shoeshine Boys song.
Oh, yeah.
Actual, yeah, I...
You know they're actually going to kill Ho-John in the original script. You remember at the end of the movie how they're playing poker? All of them are in the tent playing poker, and there's a body that's being driven away on the back of a Jeep. It was Ho-John.
Yeah.
But they cut the surgery out so that, you know, his character's still alive to the audience because they never saw him die. They never saw the surgery. So that's just a random body in the movie. But in the script, that body is Ho-John's.
Well.
Yeah. Pretty fucked.
Well, somebody else that was killed and got brought back to life. And I'm not just talking about the person who was celebrated this month either. I'm talking about Kurt Russell. He was a daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. And then he got cut down by a fire. Yeah, his little boy, Brian, had to watch it, and
it's so sad.
Yeah, and then when Brian grows up, this being Brian McCaffrey, yep. Brian McCaffrey is played by William Baldwin.
Of the famous Baldwin family.
When it popped up, I was like, I think that's a bold one. And Sarah's like, okay.
The way I thought about it was I saw his name. I didn't see the character. I just saw his name. Oh, and I was like, oh, there's a bald one in this. And I was like, huh, I wonder which one. And then I saw him and I was just like, yeah, I don't fucking know. They all look alike. They're all the exact same face.
Especially like, when they were younger, they all looked alike.
They were all Alec Baldwin, William Baldwin. I don't remember any of the other ones. They're all the fucking same.
Trent, Chevy.
Chevy Baldwin. Hawkeye. Iron Man.
Okay. Anyhow, Brian grows up, and then all of a sudden his brother Steven is also Kurt Russell.
Yep. It's amazing.
But with eyeliner and
the
no
genes
mustache.
Are strong in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like people sometimes look almost identical to their parents. Oh, Sarah looks a lot like her mom. A lot.
Careful.
Hey, they're a pretty woman. What am I supposed to say? Kurt Russell is a daddy and then a brother. That's where we left off.
He's a daddy and a brother.
So, anyhow.
Once he puts on that fire suit, can't stop me, baby.
You can't stop him. So, Brian has, for the second time, gone through the firefighting academy and goes to, you know, he tries to get into a house that's not with his firefighting brother Steven because they don't get along. But Steven, being a vet, apparently, pulled some strings so that Brian would be in the same outfit as he was, and it's problematic. And then Brian is offered a job to be an investigator with Robert De Niro. And that's when the second movie that's in this movie begins.
And I completely, this is another movie I watched not a lot as a kid, but we definitely watched it. But yeah, when, when Robert De Niro showed up, I was like, Robert De Niro's in it? What? This movie had a chance to be huge. Because it was just like, instead of William Baldwin, the individuals who could have been cast were Robert Downey Jr., Brad Pitt, and Keanu Reeves. But they chose William Baldwin over those three. This movie could have been big.
You know how little there is of Donald Sutherland in this? I honestly kept on thinking, is Scott Glenn Donald Sutherland? And I'm like, I feel like I recognize him as someone else, but is that Donald Sutherland?
Oh my god. Yeah.
It looks nothing like him.
Axe is kind of like their would-be father figure.
Yeah. He raised them after.
Played by, as you said, played by Scott Glenn. He's weird. He's hard to talk about without getting deep into the movie, you know?
He takes care of the boys, though. But how we get to meet Donald Sutherland is through Robert De Niro. So,
yes.
Because they're investigating some of these fires that Brian actually went and helped put out with Steven, they're investigating what's going on. Because every last one of them has ended with a backdraft, thus the title of the movie.
Dun, dun.
It's kind of like an implosion, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it leaves it without a blazing flame. The flame typically goes out. And so they go to Donald Sutherland, who's playing Ronald Bartel, who is a pyro that's in prison.
Yes.
And he was taken down by Robert De Niro. Actually, Robert De Niro saved his life from his own fire.
Yeah.
And the first thing that they do while they're there is stop Ronald's parole from going through. Pretty unethical way, honestly. But
yeah, it's pretty cruel.
But you know, like the way that Ronald behaved, it was pretty obvious he was going to do it again. I mean,
he'd seen Primal Fear. He knew how to get through the system.
So this performance is really interesting. He's got a cool scar prosthetic. So does Robert De Niro, actually. And I like the kind of like rivalry between those two characters. It's that's really interesting. But it's really just comes down to three scenes. And there's the one in the parole room, one right before it where he's introduced. And, you know, he's like twitchy and stuff. So the things that you would expect, you know, from someone who's a little mentally unstable and probably interested in destroying things.
Yeah.
I really liked the performance. It's one of the stranger ones I've seen Donald Sutherland do. And, you know, he was in Pod People. Or whatever that was.
my only issue with it, and this is coming from, this movie came out in the 90s. When did this come
91,
out?
91. 91. Before we were even born.
Yeah, that's fair. So my big problem with it is it came out then at the exact same time as another movie called The Silence of the Lambs.
Ah.
And his character is kind of just a weaker Hannibal Lecter. Like, it's very similar where it's like...
But he got three scenes.
Well, I mean, Hannibal Lecter didn't get a hell of a lot of scenes.
Like, he's not main character, but he's like a main supporting character.
Yeah. He does this get a lot more screen time.
Yeah, this guy is honestly a secondary supporting character, if we're really going to break down the script.
And it's like, it's a carbon copy. And the thing with Silence of the Lambs is it was based off a book, so it came before Backdraft in a way. I don't know which movie came out first, honestly. But, like, Silence of the Lambs, you have and in Backdraft, you have an investigator coming to a criminal who is put away for crimes that are very similar to what's going on now, and using that guy's knowledge to help them find the true killer that's, you know, currently loose. And so it's like it's very fascinating, but it's like as you're watching this movie, even though Sutherland's performance is really good, all I could think of as I was watching it was Anthony Hopkins did it better. You know, I'm just like, I'm sorry, Donald.
That's fair. But if it's the same year, it could have just been coincidental.
I think it was. Like, I don't think there was any, like, obviously, I'm sure they didn't take from similar sources or anything. Like, it would be very fascinating to find out who Donald, you know, was pulling from for this performance and who, I didn't look that up because I'm not a good podcaster, but it would be very interesting to know that. exactly. It was stream of conscience. But I do love his performance here. It's very, I mean, as you said, he got like all the ticks down. You know, it seemed like he had watched video of former pyromaniacs or just these kind of criminals in general, or just these kind of mentally unstable individuals in general. And he really utilized it. It's definitely, there's still some comedy. Good
representation of what we would expect a pyromaniac to be.
Yeah. It was a really good range today too of Donald Sutherland. You got the full on comedy to the kind of lunatic.
I'd call this a drama, the movie anyways.
Yeah.
An action drama. I mean, there's a lot of explosions to be.
It's fair. Ron Howard, baby. Did you know that?
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he directed it. Yeah.
Well, that might actually make me like it a touch more. But well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, statements.
I mean, no offense to William Baldwin. He did a good job. He is good in this.
Yeah.
But like,
I thought it was all well acted, really.
It was, but like, just imagine Kurt Russell and like Robert Downey Jr. together in this role. Or like, who was the other ones? The only one I remember was Robert Downey Jr. Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt would have been perfect for the younger brother. Like, opposite Kurt Russell.
I liked William as Brian, so I'm,
I do,
Brad was supposed to be Steven?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, all these people would have been opposite Kurt Russell. And that's what I'm saying. Gotcha. Like, I'm just thinking of Kurt Russell playing off of Brad Pitt. That's perfect.
It would have been like, interesting.
Yeah. I don't think you would have definitely had
examples of that.
But I'm like, I don't know. I don't mean to shit on William Baldwin, but I felt like his name is the missing big link in this whole puzzle piece here, this movie, because sorry to interrupt your closing statement to give my own. I think it's good. Like, it is a good movie, but it's just, there's something that just feels like it's missing. And I feel like that piece is William Baldwin because everything else fit well. And William Baldwin still fit, but it was kind of like that puzzle piece that it does fit, but you're just kind of like, the more you look at it, the more you're like, well, I guess there is the tiniest gap between those two rounded pieces, isn't there? So I don't think this one actually goes here. It just kind of meshed well.
It's been shaved wrong.
I'm sorry, William Baldwin. If you're listening to this, if you're alive, even, I don't know if you're... Yeah, he's still alive. He's still alive. 61 years old. Way to go, man. He fought fires and everything. It's so cool. But no, I give the movie itself 2.5 stars. I think it's very fun. Okay. But I would say that I think in this comparison of Sutherland films, I think his main leading role, I think he did a lot with the supporting role in Backdraft, but I think him as Hawkeye is the winner. He definitely carries a leading role really well.
I will agree with him carrying a leading role well. So I want to talk a little bit about Backdraft. I'm not sure that I did like it very much. Like, I thought that all the performances were pretty solid. And the scenes weren't bad, but it was three different movies it did not feel cohesive at all. And I don't blame it on William Baldwin. I don't think that's I don't think that's it. He kind of is forced in to be that piece between the Robert De Niro story and the Kurt Russell story.
Right.
But the story just does not make a lot of sense to me. Like, there's also like three women that are in throughout the show, and they, to me, unfortunately, look exactly the same. I could not distinguish these three people.
It's very, very true.
And you know, I think this is a problem of the era, like the 80s through early 90s era. Blonde was popular, and I'm blonde blind, so I don't know.
Oh man, it's true though, because they are all the, like, I'm just looking at their Wikipedia photos, and it's just like they're all barely the exact same woman.
Yeah, and so it was really hard for me to keep track of which woman it was that he was hitting on and sleeping with. I thought there was like this person that was supposed to be the ingenue that I don't think it ever happened with, because he made it with the business chick. And then I'm like, is the business lady and the other woman the same woman, or no? I don't understand.
That's another thing. I watched this movie literally like maybe 2 days ago, and like, I don't even remember the romance arcs. Like, it's just the fires and the investigation. Like, right? I remember one romance scene on top of the fire truck.
Yeah, on top of the fire hoses. And it's like, okay, first off, unsanitary.
Yeah, what the hell?
Second off, like, dude, you know what these firemen do. They wake up, jump downstairs into new clothes and on this truck, and you're not going to be able to get in your slacks and this woman in her brassiere fast enough to get down.
They definitely saw his penis.
And they end up at Kurt Russell's fire, because that's how this movie goes. I give the movie a full face though, because I just can't dock the performances, because they were good.
The
story made no sense to me, and it made me care less about the story.
I even feel like the arsonist is so fucking obvious based on the fact that you have so few characters that for it to be a drama film, you know, for there to be any kind of dramatic, you know, pull at the end, you got to make one of the characters the arsonist who's involved. And there's only like five characters to choose from. One of them's in a mental institution. One of them's the guy who's severely against it and investigating it. Two of them are the brothers, and then there's the old man. And it's just like, basically, it literally whittles it down to two options, and it's obvious.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's so obvious. Yeah,
I mean, it is more obvious to Steven and Brian after, you know, things happen. There's no reason why Donald, being Robert De Niro's character, would be able to figure it out that fast.
He's a genius. He's a genius.
He is smart. He is very smart. And the only reason why they figure it out is because Brian is working with him.
Yeah.
Because he knows the guy. Oh, spoilers, I guess. But anyways, I think I gave it a full face, and I don't necessarily recommend it. It's not the best. But I thought Kurt and William were both pretty good in it, and Donald Sutherland's arsonist character was interesting. I will say it's a very interesting performance. I have not seen that many things like that from Donald Sutherland, so I thought it was cool.
Yeah. Someday we'll watch Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, he's good in that one. I am having a hard time deciding which one I want to pick for the winner.
That's fair.
Because I thought, you know, for what it was, Ronald Bartel is a very interesting character. Mm-hmm. And while he was the lead and had a lot more opportunities in MASH, I mean, he just got to be a goofy doctor guy. Like
Donald Sutherland in Dr. Hosen.
And Dr. Hosen?
I couldn't think of the words. I just said Dr. Hosen.
like lederhosen before a doctor?
Sometimes my brain can't come up with a word fast enough, so it just throws out trash, okay?
Oh, beautiful trash. Oh, boy. All right, well, I think that's the show anyways.
It's the show, man. Hey, Industrial Light and Magic did the effects for Backdraft, so there's something. Lucasfilm.
I mean, the explosions were pretty cool.
The fires look great. I love the sound effects for the fires. That was...
Yeah.
Those were some imagery that I remembered from my childhood when I got back to it.
If you are personally a Ronald Bartel, just don't expect to have, you know, any more than the stereotypical representation in this film, but you will get a lot of fire.
Yeah, that's nice. That's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Get playing, you little firebug, you. thanks for joining us, everybody. We always love to have you here. Remember, if you want to be a part of the Potato Pick, if you want to make a suggestion and maybe have that suggestion won in a public vote off, they call those elections.
Yes.
Or polls, I guess. But, like, if you want your episode, if you have a good plan for a movie or a TV, well, probably not a TV show, that won't do it. But if you have a good plan for a movie that you want us to, you know, you want to hear our thoughts about it, or maybe two movies that you have paired together, you're like, that'd be so funny, go on down to patreon.com/greenandfaceless, subscribe, become a patron, become a true potato.
Slap us in the face with your suggestion, please, and thank you.
Our May potato pick is currently out. The patrons are making suggestions as we speak, and one of those suggestions, it might just blow your mind.
It might. If it wins. So get on there, and if you like it, if you like this suggestion, I guess I encourage you to vote for it. But if you don't, and you want to make sure that that never gets brought up, then you could go down to patreon.com/greenandfaceless and please help us. Please.
I think I'm voting for it. Like, I don't want to say what it is. We're going to keep it spoiler free. Like, we're not going to spoil it. You got to go to patreon.com to see what a certain patron has suggested for the next month potato pick. But it's fabulous. I really kind of want to put us through that torture so that we have that moment. And we'll do it together. We'll watch it together.
We will do it together. Fuck.
And all of its gloriousness.
Until next month, then. Well, we'll have episodes in between there. But
we will. Hopefully you join us.
We'll come back to this stuff in a month. Yeah.
And I'm the Green Traveler from Gorsh.
And I'm the Faceless Leone. Your favorite experiment. Safe travels and good night.
What button do I hit?
Green and Faceless on the Couch is a proud production of Fiction Works 19. Are you a fan of the show? Feel free to contact us at greenandfacelessfans@gmail.com or visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/greenandfaceless. Don't forget to comment, like, and subscribe, or rate us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.